Blog Talk Radio.
Foxy 107-104, the Triangle's only station for R&B and classic soul. Here's my man, Eric Benet, news for you on Foxy 107.1 and 104.3. Foxy presents Anthony Hamilton live in concert. It's just days away. The Soulful Summer Tour with special guests, Eric Benet, Marcus Canty. And it's going down June 8th at the D-Pack. I want you, yes you, to keep listening for a chance to win free tickets. Foxy 107.1 and 104.3.
I was stupid, really stupid. Something told me deep inside, better not do it.
Triangle, get ready. You've waited and now he's here. Back in the Triangle, national recording artist Anthony Hamilton.
Woke up this morning, found a letter that she wrote.
Anthony Hamilton live.
I need to get away.
Saturday night, June 8th at D-Pack. It's Anthony Hamilton. Foxy 107-104, the Triangle's only station for today's R&B and classic soul. This is Ty Jones. Ladies, we got tickets to see TGT. Ooh, Lord. And special guest, Fantasia. She really knows what Fed Up is all about. I got some of that on the way, too. And here's R. Kelly. When a woman's fed up, I know about that. On Foxy 107-104.
I'm standing here looking in the mirror.
Good evening, this is Ty Jones. I am your host of The Voice of the People, and tonight we're going to be talking to DJ Q. He goes by, but he's also known to us from Virginia State University as Rodney Garrett. Rodney is a member of Omega Psi Phi fraternity, and he's pretty well-versed, and I actually have had the blessing to meet this young man. Well, I like to say young man. he's with Capital City DJs, has a love for music, and talented, skillful at mixing all music genres into an effortless stream of mood-creating masterpieces. And that's how DJ Q was born. He has become an event staple and is known as a crowd-pleasing DJ in major cities across the country. He has street smarts, book smarts, and was smart enough to turn a hobby into a full-time service. He's earned two master's degrees from Virginia State University, works in the educational field, founded a 501 non-for-profit organization for youth, and we're going to focus on that tonight. As the founder of the DJ Club and Mentoring Program, many hours spent teaching and encouraging children interested in pursuing various musical careers. Through this non-for-profit organization, DJ Q continuously gives back to the community and provides a safe haven for learning to the youth of today. So we want to welcome him in the studio. Welcome, Rodney Garrett. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing this evening? How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great. I have Mark Lee in the building with me. Mark, are you there?
I am here.
Okay, hey, good, Mark. So this is Mark Lee. This is my co-host, Rodney, and Mark is a part of The Voice of the People. We're here every Monday night, 8 p.m., live and direct. So tonight, we're going to focus on a fellow Trojan. And I think we have Dean Geronimo in the building with us, too. Is that you, Dean?
Yeah, just getting out this cold and rain. What's going on with you?
That's what's up. And, Dean, you have your frat brother is one of our guests tonight, Rodney Garrett.
Okay.
Rodney is calling
91,
out of DC.
Okay.
You know, 91. He's the founder of the DJ Club and Mentoring Program, and many hours spent teaching and encouraging children interested in pursuing various musical careers through this non-for-profit organization. DJ Q is what he goes by as his DJ name, and he continuously gives back to the community. He also has two master's degrees from VSU, represents Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, and his stage name is DJ Q. We also want to get into this homecoming because, you know, I'm nosy, so he's going to be kicking off the VSU HD 2016 the Premium Saturday Night Grand Finale featuring Chubb Rock, Houdini, DJ Grandmaster Flash, D, and the very own DJ Mike Checka. will also be spinning some of the old school sounds. So that's going to be Saturday. So this is going to happen, guys, because Ty Jones is the host. Mark Lee is also my co-host. And Dean Geronimo, I just gave y'all a little bit of what's going on, but I will be honest with you guys tonight. I'm not going to be the chatty catty because I got to bounce because I am multitasking tonight, guys. I got to get back and finish doing makeup on clients. So with that said, I gave the brief introduction, and I'm going to let the men of the show take it from here. Is that fair?
That's fair enough. I do have to add just one other thing to remind you that we do have another guest next week, which will be Liz, who will be talking about that thing that I said you would probably be very much interested in. She's written a novel. It's a fiction novel on how to kill your husband.
How to what? How to kill your husband?
Yes, a fiction novel, but the plot of the novel is that she kills off her husband.
Wow. Mm. Okay. Well, can you shoot me her info?
Yeah.
It's pretty scary.
Look,
I'm going
to
stay
notes,
on the line.
Right?
Yeah, I'm not taking no notes because I'm looking for husband number two, guys. I'm not married yet, so I don't want to kill him off. I haven't gotten the insurance money, you know. I have no beneficiaries, so I got to wait till I marry him first. But and if I kill him, hopefully I kill him with a lot of love, you know, and a lot of kindness.
Clean up time.
And, you know, and then he'll love me forever. So enough about me. DJ Q, a.k.a. Rodney Garrett, is our guest tonight. He's going to be talking about all this cool, interesting stuff that's going on. I love what he's doing with the DJ Club and mentoring program. And then, of course, you know we got to talk about what's happening at BSU, HC 2016, the takeover. He's calling the takeover. I want to hear what that's all about. So, Mark Lee, Dean Geronimo, take it away from here.
No problem. So if you'll give me a little bit of background about what you've got going on with your musical career, we'll go from there, and then we'll just ask questions left and right from there. But I know I heard a little bit of what Ty said about your background, but if you can give me a little bit more explanation of what you've done and what you've got.
Okay. I'm a teacher, full-time teacher. I just happened to, as a kid, I started to dance because my father was not a musician. So doing that, people would ask me to bring music to events sometimes. So I would take stuff, and one day somebody broke one of my mother's records. So she told me I had to pay for it. So I went out and bought it. The next time they asked me to bring music, I started charging people. So I've been getting paid to DJ since the age of 9. Yeah, as time went on, I just invested and bought more and more stuff because I had bigger events. So about at the age of 11, I was doing the middle school dance, and I would go to the dance and get $50, and I would take a cassette tape, push play. When we get ready to switch again, I would flip it over and go back and dance with my friends, and I just kept doing it from there. So I'm doing music pretty much most of my life.
And how many CDs would you say you have in your collection?
Technically, CDs are kind of outdated now, so I have over 100,000 songs on as far as my external hard drives. Cause I do all type of genres, so yeah, I have over 400,000 songs. I have the top 100 Billboard songs all the way back to 1940. Jazz, bar mitzvah music, classical, reggae, pop. Wedding music, I got everything. African music, I have Korean music, I have a lot of stuff.
So you probably even have some Spanish music too.
Of course, merengue, bachata, you know, salsa, I have all of that.
Oh, cool.
Reggaeton.
So you got all of that. So you're ready to do any party that's out there, you can handle it.
Pretty much, yes.
Nice.
Cool, that's real good. And what's the furthest you've gone out for a show?
I think the furthest, probably, because I live on the East Coast, the D.C. area, probably California and Vegas. I've been out there to DJ Miami, Toronto.
Okay. What was the draw to get you out to California and Toronto? Was it a festival or a conference, or was it just you plugging into a circuit over there?
Yeah, Toronto, I had some, I was hired by the radio station to go to. I used to do radio for a little while, so I was going out there to do a show out there during the Carabana Fest, California and Vegas. I had knew some people in California that I used to DJ for on the East Coast. I did their wedding, so they put me on with a lot of people. So I was able to go out and I was sponsored by Corona to go to Vegas. And, you know, I was kind of surprised because it's like, I do stuff all the time, but the treatment and stuff, I arrived, I had a limo driver. I was on the top floor of Planet Hollywood. Coco and Ice-T were downstairs. I met Celine Dion, you know, Boyz II Men, different people. So.
Cool. Now, we've had this conversation before here on the show, and it's been interesting hearing people that are in the music industry, what their assessment is of the state of radio right now. So you being a DJ that's played a lot of clubs and parties and things of that nature, and you said you did some stint in DJing, and of course I've done that as well, and I know Ty has. I was wondering what your assessment of the current state of radio is.
Well, times change, so of course some of the stuff that they're playing now I don't really listen to, but as a professional, as a DJ, you know, you play, it's a business, so you ask to play it, you know, money is green, so I'll play it, but do I necessarily listen to some of the stuff that they're playing now? Not really. And not to say anything bad or about how things are going, but just different strokes, different folks. So music has changed a lot as far as, right now I'm specifically talking about as far as the R&B and the hip-hop, it's changed a lot. From somebody that's been in the game for a while, you know, completely different.
Right. Yeah, because I've heard a lot of the independent artists talk about the fact that they actually find it easier to get exposure to the private DJs like you versus the DJs that are on the radio, because the DJs in radio are kind of limited to what they can play based on that little limited amount of circulation of what they've got. Like, they might have 50 songs that they're playing throughout the country.
Oh, yeah, it's supply and demand. So if the people request it, you have to play it. And, you know, I understand that. Like, you said you're in the radio stuff, so you understand that, too. It's a playlist, but, you know, you go beyond that, a party or something or event, and, you know, can you play this, can you play that? So depending on the crowd and what type of atmosphere, you know, sometimes you can't slide stuff in there.
So you do a little bit more experimentation than, say, the radio DJs can do. You may be able to slip in a up-and-coming artist, whereas the radio DJ is a little bit more limited.
Well, I mean, you can, depending on what you do, because, like, I do all ages. I do, I do everything from middle school and proms and stuff for high school, all the way up to the adult old school type events. Old school, of course, you can't slide the new stuff in there because they're not interested in that. They want to hear what got people famous to get there. That's what they want to hear. With the new school people, you can throw stuff on them and, like, oh, yeah, what's that? So, you know.
Yeah, that's very true. I know some people that have done that. I know a young lady here in the Durham area that actually slips in even, like, a little bit of world music to her set. She'll play some African music. She might even play some music from Brazil or the Caribbean, because it's a little bit more experimental, and definitely it's a little bit more liberal in around the triangle area, what we call Raleigh, Durham, and Chapel Hill. So there are a lot of folks that like to hear a variety of styles. They're not limited to just one style, even though a lot of the radio stations are limited to whatever their genre is. But in terms of the community, they're definitely more open to doing different things.
Right.
So that's what I've seen, like a lot of the festivals and stuff like that. So we're going to have you done any gigs in North Carolina?
Actually, yes. I was there for the Q's Conclave back in, I think it was 2012. I DJed in Charlotte with DJ Crush from Legends of Troy, who's also from Virginia State University. But we did an event down there Friday and Saturday. And I've done a few other things. I've done a step show down there. So I've done a few things in the North Carolina area.
Cool.
Rob,
we know there's a lot of D.C. oriented people here and things of that nature. Now, I know that at one time, and it's been a minute since I've been up to D.C., but I know at one point the go-go scene was very active there. Is the go-go scene still active in the D.C. area, or is it calmed down a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they still have go-go, but, I mean, it's, you know, like I said, times have changed. So the old school go-go, they still play. You know, you have some friends of mine just the other night went to see Hot Cold Sweat, which is an old school go-go band. Probably about 2 months ago to see Trouble Funk and EU. So the old school bands, you know, they still have their crowd of people that go see them. Chuck Brown's band still performs. Then I saw at the CIAA that all of them were playing in North Carolina and what is CIAA. So they still have their crowd and stuff. Now, a lot of the newer bands, I don't think they're doing as well because, I mean, they've just changed go-go so much. Like I was saying, as far as how music has changed, you know, times change and people change, but people like what they like. So, you know, a lot of stuff that they're doing now doesn't really work with the people that pay the money to go see them, because a lot of the younger people don't have the money to go see them, and, you know, a lot of older people are just not interested in hearing the new stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's real true, because we've noticed that even down here that a lot of the ticket prices are outside of the price range of what a lot of young people are willing to pay when they got concerts that are $50, $75, $60, $40, even for an up-and-coming artist. So I know we've got a cultural arts center that I work at, and we've got an up-and-coming blues artist, and those tickets are starting at $30. And so a lot of people are like, we don't even know this girl. She might be blues, but we don't know her, and you're charging $30.
Right.
So definitely there's a little bit of that going on. Now, the one thing I will say about North Carolina is we got a lot of festivals that appeal to a lot of different styles, because there was a festival, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but we pulled some people from D.C. called Art of Cool. It was actually founded by a D.C. gentleman by the name of Al Strong, who came down here to go to Central, the school, studied jazz, and him and his lady friend started this jazz. It's actually like a jazz fusion festival, so it's not just strictly jazz. They incorporate jazz. They got hip-hop acts. They've actually got a group called The Internet that's going to be performing coming up in May, because they've got that going on. And then there's a music-sponsored festival called Moog. It used to be in Asheville. It's more like that, techno kind of, and house, well, more techno kind of music kind of stuff. And so they've got some named acts that are coming down for that. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out in May when both of those events come on. But I understand that Ty was saying that you've got a event that'll be part of y'all's homecoming. So tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, basically, you know, everybody goes back for homecoming when they can. You know, it's usually a big draw. You have people that come back from all different time frames and years. And me, I went over 91, so this will be our 25th. Anniversary. Also have the lines from 86, 81, you know, all these different lines that are coming back. So it's like a celebration anniversary for a lot of the lines. Now, me going to homecoming last year, I can't lie, if I got to be honest, last year homecoming to me was kind of bad. Reason being, everybody's used to going to the Legends of Troy meet and greet on Friday night. But they didn't have it last year. But Friday, there was nothing going on. All these people had different parties going on. And were claiming that they had the official party, but those people were scattered around everywhere. And then Saturday, you have Team Tailgate usually does their thing on the yard from 12 noon to dark. But other than that, I mean, there's just a lot of stuff scattered around. So a lot of people weren't happy about last year. So I decided that knowing people and just knowing people that come back, and a lot of women that they want to dress up. They want to wear the heels and go to something nice. Yeah, everybody wants to go to the meet and greet and hang out and have fun, but sometimes people want to dress it up for like a main event or something. So I was like, okay, this year I'm the main event. So I got with some friends. I've talked to some people and see what they wanted to do and what they were interested in. We said we were going to take it old school, and we got DJ Mike and people that were there that were relevant on the yard at one point. And then I made a couple calls. I got Chubb Rock on board, and then we got Grandmaster D on board, because they both have ties to Virginia State. And then, you know, the show was born. So now, because we're saying that we have the official grand finale for homecoming.
Well, your initial tickets are sold out, bro. I tell you now, they're all gone.
You said initial tickets?
The initial tickets were $20-something?
Yeah, they sold out.
Sold
fast.
Out. Yeah.
And that's 6 months out.
Exactly.
And how many?
But you know what? You got to blame the city of Colonial Heights did a real snow job on, you know, what was supposed to take place last year. And that really messed up a whole lot of stuff. So, like you said, you had 10 different parties, the official. And it was like, you know what? I'm used to going to the crawl at the mall, bro. I'm like, all right, well, there ain't too much to do but ride around and see what's over here, what's over there. And it was like jumping around.
Right.
There wasn't anything that said, this is where I want to go. This is the spot where I'm going to be. You know, and now for you to have that coming up in October, in our era, that's what we're looking for. You know, like it's an all-black joint, too. So, you know, right there, downtown Petersburg, Old Town Civic Center, come and have some fun. You know what I mean? So.
Right, and I did my homework and research before I did it because I looked around. And I wanted to find, you know, a lot of things like the I don't know if you're familiar with the Bow 20 or some of those places. They're pretty small, and
right.
My mind and I
remember. Remember, Petersburg is my hometown, so.
Oh, okay. So you know that, yeah.
Yeah, Q.
Right. So you know, a lot
for
of people,
sure.
You know, complain about, you know, everybody's older and stuff. They don't want to go to Bow 20 and hang out in these type of areas and park by nobody's house and all that. So I did some research to try to find the biggest place that was closest to campus. A lot of people, what they used to do is they were booking an event way in Richmond. People like me that's from the D.C. area, okay, if I'm driving back from home, coming from Richmond, I'm just going home. You know,
exactly.
I'm not, I want to get to Petersburg, so I'm not trying to drive far backwards to go to anything at homecoming. So, you know, I did the research, and the Civic Center was the largest facility in the area because it holds 800. So we got the biggest facility. And we, you know, we talked to the people. They said what they wanted. We told them what we wanted to do, and we made a deal, and now we're making it happen.
That's a beautiful thing, man, because, like I said, when we start planning for homecoming for us, you know, we start planning way in advance. My room's already booked, bro. It was booked last year before I left. You know,
yeah, mine.
So when we come, but then
right.
When we get there, it's like, what's next? What's the thing? Nobody's trying. It's the 48-hour, I call it the 48-hour marathon, because when we get there, by the time you go back to sleep, you really getting back home.
Right. Pretty much. And so while I'm on here, you know, I'm going to give a shout out and love to Team Tailgate and Legends of Troy, because Legends of Troy, DJ Crush, is also a member of Mega Top 5 Fraternity, New Star Chapter. So, you know, we talked. I was like, look, I'm not trying to come in and bump heads with anybody. I'm not trying to take anything from anybody. So we talked. He was like, look, we doing Friday. They bring the meet and greet back this year, 2016, but it won't be at the same location. I don't know the location, but it's not gonna be at the same place because, like you said, the stuff that went down at Colonial Heights was cool. So
you said it right the first time.
Well, yeah. So that didn't work. So you know, they're gonna do Friday. Team Tailgate is known for doing 12 noon till dark on the yard. So you know, I've reached out to DJ Crush and Legends of Troy. I haven't talked to Team Tailgate yet because what I'm trying to do is, just like CIAA, I'm trying to get with all the three heads and like, hey, why don't we just put a ticket together? Okay, Friday night this, Saturday during the day this, Saturday night this. So that way we all just encouraging and, you know, promoting each other.
Okay, do you need Hint's number?
Who, from Team Tailgate?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's Stan, right?
Huh?
What's his name? Is his name Stan?
No, Henry Dudley.
Henry Dudley. Okay, Henry, yeah.
Yeah, Henry.
Yeah,
I actually text that to you, bro.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, because I figure, you know, everybody got stuff going on when we, you know, support each other instead of trying to. I'm not coming down there for competition. I'm just like, you know, I'm a consumer just like everybody else. Last year, it was just disappointing. So, you know, I just like, okay, I'm going to do something about that this year for giving the chance because I DJ. I got plenty of equipment and sound and stuff. So I was like, we can do that. So.
That's what it's about, and,
right.
And that's really what it's about. Not so much the competition. Like when it gets to the competition part, you get stuck because you're like, all right, it's my frat brother right here. This my man I grew up with since we were little, and it's my cousin. Everybody having a party. Where
right.
we going? I ain't going nowhere. That way I ain't hurt nobody feeling.
Right. Rocking the hard place.
Yeah, that's the, like, where you been at? I just stayed in the crib. I can't support
right.
all three at the same time, so I'm not picking. You're not going to force me to pick. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just go ahead and chill for a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Hey.
So, yeah, that's why I want to touch base with them. So, like, if we can put this little calendar out together. Everybody pushing through their people on, you know, social media. Okay, this is the lineup. Friday night, old school this. Saturday during the day, old school this. Saturday night, you know, because my stuff is 30 and older. So, you know,
right.
we're pushing for people that want to come out and have a good time. I know me as a teacher, I got students that are there now at Virginia State, so I don't want to go anything that's like 22 or 23 years old. Some of them might have been my kids.
Mr. Garrett, I saw you partying out in the scene.
Right.
I can hear that now.
That's not going to happen. So, you know, I was like, okay, we're going to make it 30 and older, you know. So people feel comfortable because, you know, some of the lines, that was one of the things that some of the Greeks said when I was talking to them, the Divine Nine, about coming, you know. They were like, they were specifically like, look, we're not trying to go anything where it's 21 to 25, you know. So, you know, I was like, if you guarantee it's going to be older, so I said, you know, we can do that. So I put on the flyers, 30 and older. So, you know, that's letting you know this is true old school. This is 80s and 90s music. You know, we're going to have a good time during our era. We're not trying to play no, you know, we're not trying to do no Superman and all that, all them types of songs and all that stuff. So, you know, we're trying to take
right.
Have a good time.
What? You know, what, you ain't going to slip no 70s music in there for us real old heads?
Oh, we going to hook it up. I mean, we can go back now. That's not a problem. It's just, I was just saying, it's not going to be like the you walk into the club like now at 18 or 19. It's not going to be that type of music.
Right.
Because nobody out here jump around and drop it like it's hot and all that type of stuff, you know. Drop it, we got no medic on. We don't have no medic there on the facility, so it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, it's going to be a real issue, right?
Like I said, as long as you got some late 70s, early 80s, we good. Like I said, I didn't even go there, but Ty keeps telling me and Dean, I got to come check y'all out this year. So I'm trying to make arrangements to make that happen because I was one of those. I was one of those people that slipped away to one of those predominantly white universities.
Oh, okay. You know, you got
to get back, huh? I had not at Marquette with Doc Rivers.
Yeah, you got to do what you got to do. I understand.
Yeah. Well, like I said, he had to do what he had to do. We were, all the frats and sororities were doing their active thing, even on that small campus. So I know how the parties operate, even though it was on a different level. You know, it wasn't the HBCU, North Carolina Central, and the Virginia school kind of attitude. But we still got our party off.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that, bro.
Right.
Okay. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Going to school in the early 80s, you know, that music of the late 70s and early 80s was my kind of thing. So as long as you got some of that in there, I'll try to be there for sure.
Oh, yeah, we got you. I mean, Grandmaster D, when they come out, like 83? So, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we gonna definitely get everybody, you know, have everybody get a chance to hear their stuff from their era, so.
Cool. Now, Ty was mentioning something about you were doing some stuff with the, I know you just mentioned that you were doing teaching, but some of it was geared toward teaching people about the industry and stuff like that, so tell me a little bit more about that as well.
Okay, I have a DJ club and mentoring program. Basically, I was working at a middle school at one point in life, and I'm at the high school level now, but now that the middle school, I had some students and kids that they didn't want to be the athletes and play basketball or football. They didn't want to run track, you know, but some of them were at-risk students, so they would get in trouble and stuff, little stuff here, so they really didn't have any guidance. So some of them kind of took to the fact that I would, like, stay after on my own. After I would get done my work, I would bring my equipment sometimes and just stay in the back and practice and do mixtapes. And some of them were just like, you know, what are you doing? So they would come back there and stuff, and that some of them were interested in the music, not just, you know, some of them wanted to rap. Someone wanted to sing. Someone wanted to learn how to DJ. So I just formulated a club and just ran with it. And I paid for it out of my own pocket for quite a few years. The school allowed me to attach it to the school. So I brought it in when I first started it. The first intro when I presented it to the student body and allowed them to come, we took the crowd. It was like we probably had about 100-something kids around us and stuff. And the first meeting we had, I had 45 members. And we just ran with it from there. So not only did I take them under my wing and try to, you know, show them about the music and different things they can do in life, I also, we did stuff like I took them to Howard University's graduation. I took them out and made them learn how to go out and eat. They had to dress up, wear suit and tie. I took them out and I had to get a contract with the Loft Hotel to do their New Year's Eve party and a couple other events for them. I took president and vice president, which were both students, both seniors, with me, and they sat at the meeting at the table with me and stuff, and, you know, I was just showing them different things. You know, you can be an entrepreneur. The sky's the limit, so, you know, you can do whatever you want to do in life. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't do.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And how long has the club been running?
Since 2010, so this is, what, 6 years?
6 years? Nice. Any successes out of that yet? Anybody gone off and got like a steady rolling gig or anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have a couple of students. One of them, he's a DJ down in Miami. And then I have a couple others that do beats and stuff. And, you know, a lot of them have went on and done some of their own stuff. I have one that actually went to school for sound engineering and stuff. So, yeah, quite a few of them have went on to do some good things. And they stuck with it. So, you know, they not only stayed out of trouble and got themselves together, but they went on to pursue it full time pretty much. So.
You got a couple of them that made a career out of it.
Right. So, you know, I see them sometimes, and you know, like, Mr. G, you know, you always told me to do this and do that. Because, you know, that's all I did. I told them, you know, you don't let anybody tell you what you can't do. If somebody tell you you can't do it, prove them wrong.
Right. Yeah, because it's always good seeing the young folks getting involved, but getting mentoring from folks that have been doing it for a while. Because I know that Dean knows that Ninth Wonder has been doing a lot of that over at North Carolina Central University and some of the other universities around our area here, because he's got all that fame and things of that nature. So he's been doing that. And then there's a gentleman that Ninth has worked with before who's his mom is actually a well-known jazz singer by the name of Nina Freelon. His name is Pierce Freelon, and he's pretty well-known in the East Coast as a rapper and everything, but he's got this thing called the Beat Making Lab, which is basically just what you're talking about. It's teaching music and things to different kids some that are college age and some that are like high school age. So he's been doing that now for a while. They've actually been doing it so well and having such a success with it that they're even looking at possibly doing it like with having a more freestanding space to do it.
Right.
Right now, a lot of what they do is like, you know, collaborations with cultural centers and different other things. So I'm actually looking at their website, and it sounds pretty similar to what you're doing, because it says the Beat Making Lab. Our mission is one of cultural exchange. We collaborate with cultural centers, connect youth to a global audience, and contribute equipment and training. So they're training them like in how to make that music and how to do the, like you just said, the engineering and stuff like that. So if you're not familiar with Pearsall and some of the stuff that's going on in Durham and the Triangle, I have to connect you with them, because it definitely sounds like y'all are doing some similar kind of stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's part of what I've been doing for years. Dean will tell you that. Pat says it all the time. That when it comes to networking people around this area, I'm pretty much plugged in.
Oh, okay.
Speaking of Ninth Wonder, on the 12th, what day is that? A Tuesday, right? Tuesday the 12th, Ninth Wonder present a master class on beat making and sampling up here at the UPenn School of Africana Studies. So that's going to be at 6 p.m. in the Annenberg School for Communication, 3620 Walnut Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. He's going to be there. He's going to have a few members of the Soul Council there with him. So it's going to be an interesting session, you know, for the students there. UPenn is really open to the public, but, you know, most of the time those students are there first.
Okay.
Because another person I want to put you in touch with is a gentleman by the name of Dasana Hanu, but he's like one of our leading spoken word people, but he's trained both adult spoken word artists as well as some that are kids, because there's a group here called Sacrificial Poets, but they actually, some of them are grown off and have graduated, just like your people have graduated, but when they started it, and it still exists this way, most of them are high school kids or junior high kids that are learning this whole spoken word community and things of that nature, and like I said, a couple of them have gone off to pretty good fame. One of the gentlemen has moved to D.C. He's a Oriental guy. I cannot think of his last name. I want to say he begins with a Y. But his poetry team actually, I think, did well in one of the regionals. They might have even won it. So he's part of our folks that have been trained down here.
Oh, okay.
So I definitely have to find ways to connect y'all to them.
Okay. Yeah, I've actually considered, I want to bring a show to the Raleigh-Durham area, but I have quite a few friends down there. They're always like, oh, it's nothing to do, it's dead, and this, that. So, you know, I was like, let me think about this and see what I can do. But, yeah, I do plan on bringing, I don't know what type of show yet, either a comedy show or an old-school show to the Raleigh-Durham area, because, like I said, I do sound and stuff and all of that, so.
Okay. Yeah, well, I can definitely hook you up with some of the venues, because there are a couple of venues that have done shows like that. Motor Co. is a pretty well-known venue. Sand Hook is a pretty well-known venue, and both of those are in Durham, but then you got places like Lincoln and Deep South that are in Raleigh and the Poorhouse, and all five of those are open to doing different kinds of things, and there are other ones as well. There's a very popular one in Chapel Hill called Cat's Cradle that has brought in major acts. I mean, they got Chuck D and KRS-One have performed at that venue at one time or another.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so there's definitely some places that we can try to plug you into and everything. And a lot of that depends on what they are into and everything, because I've heard that before. Some people complain that there's nothing to do, but then I've also heard people say that there's plenty to do, so it depends on specifically what they want to do and what their interests are. It might not be fitting their style, but there's all kinds of things that are happening on a regular weekly basis here, pretty much. But it might not be exactly what they're looking for.
Now, is there a comedy club in the Raleigh-Durham area?
There's a comedy club in Raleigh, a very popular one. It's actually one of the Charlie Goodnight's chains. But in terms of, there's still some people that do, like, some of the R&B clubs. They'll have comedy and things of that nature. But there is not a physical comedy club in the city of Durham. And there is a more of an improv kind of club in Chapel Hill, but there's not a physical comedy club. There's strictly comedy, comedy alone, that's in the Durham area that I'm aware of. There's a couple that they'll do. Like I said, they might be having more of a music club, but they might have a comedy night or something like that, or be a regular bar for a comedy night.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we definitely have to look into that, because I have some ideas for that.
Cool. Yeah,
so
there's definitely some opportunities there and everything.
Nice.
Sounds like you got a lot of good things going on, and you're ready for the homecoming and everything. And I know probably everybody's going to be ready for that big game in about another 20 minutes. I don't know what Dean, I guess you're going to be going for Villanova.
But you know what? I don't know. I don't know, bro.
Yeah.
I'm going to take me a guess. No, because when I picked today on the little thing, I picked North Carolina.
Okay.
Right.
So, you know, hey, the ghost of Dean Smith might be there tonight.
Right. That's definitely probably be a good game, because Villanova, they put it on that other team, Oklahoma.
they beat them, man.
They killed them. Yeah, what was it? That game was over in the first half.
Right. So, you know, just be more competition, hopefully.
Please let it be more competition.
Yeah, right. I want a good game. We don't want no blowouts.
Right.
No, not now. Not now. It's too late for blowouts.
Yeah, just like the UConn thing the other night, you know, the UConn women, you know, it's a wonder that other team was even made it to that far. They beat them like they just started playing and got their team together this year.
Right.
Well, we just need to go ahead and declare UConn the winner every year, because they don't seem like nobody can beat them. What, this is gonna be like their 10th championship or something ridiculous?
Oh yeah. I mean, and I mean, when you're the champ, people want to be a part of the champ. So I mean, because I was born in Alabama, so I'm an Alabama football fan. So Alabama, we all these top recruits because we keep winning. So it's hard to knock Nick Saban off when everybody want to go there.
That's real true. But you will get a kick out of this, that you're an Alabama boy and an Alabama native and everything. But there was the place I work at, one of them is the Cultural Arts Center. We have tenants. One of our tenants is an actual church, because the building is an old converted church. And like an actual church moved in there. It's actually a white church, even though it's an African-American cultural center. But the predominantly white church, which is a Presbyterian church, got two ministers. And had three ministers at one point. But I've come to two ministers. One is an Alabama graduate. Where do you think the other one went to school at?
North Carolina?
Auburn.
Oh, Auburn. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's you know, being from the state, if you go down there and you're getting you have a racial problem, all you got to do is say, hey, let's toll the roll tide roll. They'll let you go.
Let's go in a minute.
Yeah, you either that or you Auburn. There's no other choice for those two. That's it in the state of Alabama.
Yeah, well, it's similar here, because around here it's pretty much UNC, Duke, and you might have a couple of folks that are state fans, but outside of that, in the triangle, you can pretty much forget it.
Right.
Yeah. Man.
Nice. We're
doing a second event too in Petersburg, so we're going to advertise it too from Homecoming, but we're doing a New Year's Eve also in Petersburg, and we're bringing Trent Rock coming back, and we'll have DJ Cool down there with us also.
Okay.
You said that's going to be a New Year's Eve celebration?
That's for New Year's Eve in Petersburg. Go ahead.
Hey, you said you're in D.C., so are you going to have any kind of send-off for President Obama as he closes out his 8 years?
As of right now, no. I mean, there's so much stuff that, around, so many people that's trying to just touch him and be around him. There's plenty of stuff that's going on and stuff, but as of right now, I'm not involved in any of it.
Because I figured just like whether it's Hillary or whether it's that fool Trump, they're going to have the stuff that's plan for the person coming in. I figure that as much as he went through, there's going to be some serious parties for him going out.
Oh, yeah. I told him to get ready to pay that gas price because President Obama had no interest in gas, so he kept gas lower probably than any other president probably in the last 20-something, 30 years. But as soon as he got out of office and other people get in, if you invest in gas, it's going back to $3 or something a gallon.
$3, $4
Yep. Because he has no interest in gas, so that's why it stayed low the whole time he was in office. His family didn't make money on gas, but, as soon as he leaves, somebody else, it don't matter who take over, whether it's Hillary or Trump or whoever, I promise you they got some ties somewhere with oil and gas.
Oh, yeah. And those places are going to go skyrocket, and whatever you got the discount on insurance, that's about to change, too.
Yep.
So yeah, we're gonna be paying all kinds of fees that we don't need to be paying. But we've been having some crazy politics down here in North Carolina because our governor decided that he wants to try to regulate whether certain kind of people can use their bathroom or not. So there's been all kinds of flack over
that. Oh yeah, it's real nasty down there.
Yeah, it's been getting nasty.
You said paying some people can use? Oh yeah, you talking about the transgender thing?
Right.
Yeah.
That's gonna be ugly for the state of North Carolina. I heard the. So, this year, because y'all are down there, so y'all know that coming up, CIAA spins right into NBA All-Star Weekend, but the rate they're going, if they don't change some stuff, I heard some people might pull out.
Oh, yeah, the NBA is talking about pulling out, and some of the other, and there's already some movie people, like, they were doing a remake of Dirty Dancing, and I think that's already pulled out, so, yeah, there's some folks that are already pulling out left and right. Every time I turn around, there was like a whole list, I think it was about 100 corporations that were threatening to pull out their offices and different other things, and we're talking some major corporations like Google.
Right.
Damn.
You had to make a decision. Yeah. Got it.
It's about to come down to the bottom dollar. Right. Do I still want my people to spend money, or do I want to stand on a principle that really ain't got the legs to stand on? So,
exactly.
Right.
I'll go with my money every single time. And you might not agree with it, but I got to feed my family and folks that work for us got to feed theirs. So we got to stand on what's good for the group, the majority, rather than interest of a few,
And not just have some folks that are way too conservative try to make judgments for other people.
Right.
Cannot be doing that, but you got some folks that want to have that kind of attitude.
Oh, yeah.
Sadly.
That's the way it rolls. So what other big events you got coming up other than the ones that you just mentioned? And I think, Dan, what you think about an hour, 15 minutes, this run of the show this time?
You said from your way?
No, I said, what is the gentleman got going on other than what you just mentioned? Any other things going on?
But this Saturday, I have an event with LGBT, Lambda Gamma Gamma chapter, which are the military brothers.
Chocolate
and,
Peak event, right?
Maryland. Yeah. So I'm doing sound for that with Easy Street at 93.9. So I'm doing that this Saturday. And then I have, but it's my regular proms and stuff that I do during this season that are coming up. A few other things. But, yeah, I'm reaching out. Go ahead.
And if somebody wanted to find you online or on web or however they wanted to reach out to you, how would they go about doing that? And are you booked up already or you got some slots that you still got some space to get some other gigs, or you feel?
Yeah, depending on the date, I mean, there's always something that's possibly available. I mean, you can go to www.upscaledjs.com, and my webpage comes up. You can book me online. You can see what I do. You can see what's already booked on the calendar. All of that stuff is online and set up. So, yeah, that's the best way to find me.
So I imagine with the title like Upscale DJs, you're not coming in there dressed to the all regular. You've got some serious fashion things going on while you're DJing too, huh?
No. You know, I'm truly professional, so I wear the suit and tie, whatever type of event it is. You know, I dress to the occasion. So that's not a problem. You know, if it's an all-white party, I'm dressing white. If it's an all-black party, I'm dressing black. So, you know, we always fit in. It's a business, so, you know, to keep the business going, you got to do. You pay, we play. That's my motto.
Oh, cool.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Sounds like a real good motto.
Right.
It sounds like you can cover just about, I'm looking at your website now, it looks like you can cover just about a little bit of everything from the small birthday party to the big ones.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done everything. I mean, people always ask, you know, do you do this, do you that? It's like, hey, my mother told me don't turn down anything but your collar. So I've done dances.
I like that.
I've done Korean weddings. I've done African weddings. I've done all types of stuff. So it's a business. But,
right. Now, what's been your absolute, and this might be a hard one to answer, but do you have, like, a memory of a great party that's, like, just one that will always serve as, like, your best memory so far? I know you're always making new memories, but in the years you've been doing this, is there one or two that stand out to you?
It's probably a couple that stand out. When I went to Vegas, now, that was out of control, but, I was booked out there, and, you know, all I know is they were, you know, I was sponsored by Corona, so I had no idea what I was getting into. But, you know, I got there, it was a guy standing with a hat, limo driver with my name and everything. So I had limo service the whole time I was there. But I did a couple events. At one event I did, like they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. They had me doing a pool party. Like I said, downstairs, Coco and Ice-T and all of them were downstairs and different celebrities, so that was out of control. So that don't leave my memory no time soon.
One of those memories that you have to take with you to the end. You can't print that one when you write your book, huh?
Right.
You got to take that one to the grave, dog.
Right. And then, you know, y'all being, you know, older gentlemen like myself, y'all remember the days of the Freakniks. I've done some stuff in the past, you know, back when they were having the Freaknik and stuff. We would go down there and stuff, and we had some parties down there. All I can say is no comment.
They shall never be repeated.
I didn't see it. You can't say that
no,
I saw it.
Look, you're going to have to beat me to death. And even in death, I still ain't saw it.
If you got some pictures, that's not me.
We confiscate them joints. Somebody whip out some pictures. There. Remember this? Oh, nah, bro. We got to take them with us.
They got to go. Now, are you on any of the social media too? You mentioned your website, but are you on Facebook, Instagram, all of that stuff?
Oh yeah, I'm on Facebook. I don't really keep up with Instagram or Twitter, but yeah, I'm on Facebook, you know. So I keep up with that. And I
honestly pretty
much on there. What is that?
What's the Facebook account?
Facebook is just I think it's just under my name, Rodney Garrett, but I have a business. I also have an Upscale DJ page, business page on Facebook also. So you can find me that way also.
Under both of those. Okay. Under both the name and as well as the Upscale DJs. Now, how many years? Now, do you do all the DJing yourself, or do you have DJs that you got hired on with your company? And if so, how many?
Yeah, I have just four other guys that also are with me as far as DJing and stuff. And, I mean, we do, like I said, we have monster equipment. So we do, like, we can do, like, from the smallest to the largest events. Because I, myself, I have 24 speakers and a lot of amps and stuff. So, you know, and that's my buddy, one of my buddies that's in the group with me, he has just as much as I do. So, I mean, we can easily go do sound for, like, 10,000, 15,000 probably.
So, I mean, have you done sound for concerts, or do you have that kind of equipment that you could do sound for concerts if somebody wanted to reach out to you to do that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we have sound for, we have that. I have a the 32 channel, what's it called? 32 channel soundboard. So, you know, I
right.
can do that. You know, we have the, plenty of mics and, you know, cords for days and stuff. Yeah, we do that also.
Okay, so up in D.C. or any other place, have you done any concerts, or has it been pretty much all the DJ work, or have you done any concerts or special events?
It's like pretty that? Much, pretty much we've done, like, stuff like I've DJed for the mayor in a couple of different places, like up in Upper Marlboro. We did something at the Magic Johnson Theater out there. They had, the mayor had something, and he wanted a, they wanted a DJ and stuff out there, so we went and did that. Well, we've done stuff for a couple of other mayors, the mayor of Dumfries, Virginia. We do their, usually do their Christmas parade every year, and they have a big spring festival where they're having different people come in, like local talent, big singers, dancers, and all that type of stuff. So, yeah, we do all of that. And we just go wired up. We also have generators also, so even if we don't have plugs, we also own generators. So, yeah, we do all of it.
Those generators are important, because I can tell you, I remember one time we do a big blues festival in Durham, and I think it was when we had it's an old school singer, Jerry Butler. The dang old generator went out. The generator went out, so we actually still owe Mr. Butler a background concert, because, you know, if you're out in a ballpark having a festival, which is where it was at for many years, and the generator goes out, you ain't getting much sound after that.
Right. Well, you ain't getting
right.
no sound.
Exactly.
Don't work without power.
Yeah, I think that thing lasted about maybe a few minutes after the generator went out, and then we had to postpone, reschedule that one. And like I said, we still owe him that date for a later time. So I'm sure we'll get to him in one of these years, since he's still out there doing his thing. So
right.
That was wild. We couldn't make that one finalized and everything, but you know, it's good. That whole DJing game can be a trip, because I also know a couple of times that there were some concerts where it looked like it was going to rain.
Right.
And the promoters decided to pull out because it looked like it was going to rain. I think they were following, like, the weather sites and everything, and they said it's going to rain. And I was coming to the event. By the time I got to the event, I'm looking up at the sky, and I'm like, it's sunny. What happened to the rain? And they're like, hey, look, weatherman told us it was going to rain. We canceled it. I'm like,
right.
Okay. Sometimes you just got to be better safe than sorry, and I understand that.
Right.
But if you a fan, then you or involved in it, sometimes you wondering, like, dang, I could have been having some, you know, getting my groove on with some young lady there, but y'all had to ruin it all.
Yeah. I tell you, something else we're trying to talk, and it's kind of like in the early stages, but, once upon a time in Atlanta, they used to have something called a Teachers Bowl. And, like, you know, Atlanta, heavily African-American and stuff, so all the teachers, they would have, like, they turned it into a weekend event where people would come down for the big event, and all the teachers would fly in from different places. So we're actually working on now possibly doing something called the Urban Teachers Bowl. Just changed the name a little bit, because I'm on a thing called Black Educators Rock, and it's, like, 140,000 strong on Facebook. So, you know, people are like, oh, you should come here. You should come to Memphis. You come here. So we're actually looking into it, because I know, like, I talk to Chubb Rock quite often. So Chubb Rock's on three different radio stations down there. So anything that I put him on, he's like, he'll advertise for free. So I know his show pretty much are in different areas and stuff. So yeah, Atlanta's one city we're looking at. But like I said, I've been trying to look into going to the Raleigh Durham area also. I know that y'all have a heavy urban population there as far as the teachers and educators also.
We have plenty of educators. This is very much of an education kind of town. Matter of fact,
right.
I was earlier today meeting with the mayor's daughter, who's trying to put together a specialized school. It'll be focused on, because she's a dancer by background, but it'll be focused like on the arts and being almost like a schoolyard, similar to what they got in Winston-Salem, versus kind of the more parochial kind that they already have in Durham. But it'll be teaching kids different styles, not just the standard form of education, but also like a creative style. So it'll be a blend of the old and the new style of teaching. And she's in the process of, you know, getting her marketing team and all of that stuff to make that happen. So sounds like it's going to be happening probably within the next year or two. So she's definitely another person that I can put you in touch with.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds like you got a lot of good stuff going on. Like I said, I won't have to, I don't know about Dean, but I might have to cut it short, because I got to get to watching a little bit of this basketball game to make sure that whoever's going to win is going to win. Cause I want to make sure it's going to be a good game.
Right.
Well, you know what? Hey, man, it's DJ Q, bro. We appreciate you, dog team. Rule the 25 years in the greatest fraternity under all the heavens in the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. You know,
right.
We appreciate you coming and spending a little time with us here at the Voice of the People. You know, and for those that are listening, if you wonder what's going to happen at the Land of Troy on Saturday, October 22nd, 2016. It's not just a party, but it's the premium Saturday night grand finale featuring Chubb Rock and Houdini's DJ Grandmaster D. VSU's own DJ Mike Check and DJ Q will be spinning the sounds. It's an all-black affair at the Old Town Civic Center, 800 people capacity. Don't get left out. Early bird tickets, that first run is already sold out. They're going to celebrate the various line anniversaries, 76, 81, 86, 91, 96, 2001. We might as well say 2006 and also 2011, the Centennial Bros for us. Dress code strictly enforced, cash bar, pre-order bottle service and VIP. They even got an ATM on the inside so you can get your money. Plenty of parking. Make sure you get there. Make sure you go on eventbrite.com. Look it up. Click the link. Get your tickets or get left outside. I got mine. All right, so.
Yeah. And the other thing I was going to say, because I know Ty always asks as we close out, is if everybody just give their words of wisdom, whatever that is, or encouragement to the listeners, then
yeah.
I think I'll let you go first since you're our guest. So whatever words of wisdom or encouragement you got for people that are in the industry, not in the industry, just in life in general, let us hear it.
Pretty much the same thing I tell my students is never let anybody tell you what you can't do. They tell you that you can't do it, prove them wrong. Show them why you can't.
I like that. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would definitely say something along those same lines, which is that, you know, yeah, there are going to be those folks out there that hate on you and tell you that you can't do it or find some kind of ways to sabotage what you're trying to do. And if you've got folks that are trying to sabotage you, one, don't be dealing with them if you recognize that they're trying to sabotage you. And if you don't recognize that they're trying to sabotage you, just don't let them impact what you're doing.
For sure. And I guess to finish it off, you know, for ladies, you're your best cheerleader. Fellas, you're your best hype man. Make your next move your best move and make sure it's beneficial for you and your family. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, it's been real. We're about to bounce out and go check this game out. But it's the Voice of the People, Monday night, 8 p.m. Ty Jones, the host. She'll be back next week. Co-host Mark Lee. I am Dean Geronimo. We have DJ Q in the building tonight. Appreciate you. We love you. We out.
Later.
Peace.
Peace.
You have been listening to the Voice of the People. Tune in every Monday night, 8 p.m. at blogtalkradio.com/Ty Jones The Voice. Or you can call and join the conversation at 914-338-0659. We'll see you next week.